Well, as we are in the second week of social distancing and not being able to come together to meet as a church, it's hard to stand here and to share this message and not see your smiley faces, not seeing everybody staring at me, or some of you in deep meditation with your eyes closed, your head facing up. In deep meditation, it's different, to say the least. But I want to encourage everybody to, as we are not allowed to fellowship, it's not like we're not forsaking the fellowship of the saints, because we're together in spirit. And remember to stay in the Word of God. That's the most important thing, is that you stay in the Word of God, you stay in prayer, you stay in worship and fellowship within your homes. You are having your own Bible study in your home, in your own little church in your home. It's kind of like an underground church, but open church. You're not underground, you're above the ground, but you're able to have it. And so I really want to encourage you to stay close in your relationship until this time is over, as we thought we were going to be able to come together this month, but our president and those authorities over us said that they're going to extend it till May. And so we're going to be obedient and faithful, and we're going to do all we can to help to be the solution and not the problem. So I really want to encourage you to stay focused, stay close to the Lord, stay in prayer, and contact each other on the phone, on social media. I'm not too big on social media, but at this point, this is how we're getting the word out. I mean, the word is going, the word of God is going throughout the world. It's global. And so use it. Use it to preach the gospel. Now, somebody sent me a text here, and it gives us reasons why we should watch church online. And they're pretty funny, but I added one. But here they are. The reason why we should watch church online is, number one, you don't have to worry about parking, which we know that because we always have parking issues. Number two, refilling your coffee cup anytime. I mean, you're not allowed to take coffee in the sanctuary, but if you're watching it at home, you can have more than one cup of coffee. Number three, you can relax in your pajamas. Well, I've seen a couple of people come to church in their pajamas, but you're able to stay in your pajamas and watch church. And then number four, you can always mute the pastor. And I think that's a big one. But I'm going to add one. And number five, you can fall asleep during the pastor's message. You can snore and nobody's going to wake you up. So those are some pretty good reasons also why we should watch church online. But really the main reason is so that we can connect to the Lord, stay connected to God, and stay strong in this time that we're going through, this coronavirus epidemic, and just stay faithful. Now, this morning, we're not going to be going into the book of Luke, but I want to kind of share our responsibility as Christians in this time. And so if you have your Bibles, which I know you do, I want you to open up your Bibles to Psalms 37. Now, this is one of my favorite psalms, and I've shared this many times, but I think it goes great and it's a word of encouragement in the time that we are going through right now. And I always think that as a Christian, you know, we often ask that question, why do bad things happen to good people, or why do good people suffer and bad people don't? I mean, I think it's a legitimate question, and it's one that's often asked from the Lord. But it's one that many of us Christians, we wrestle with and we struggle with this, and because we don't understand why these things take place. That's the reason why. And most of the time when the Lord does answer our question to why these things take place, often we don't accept his answer. Because it's not the answer we're looking for, or we just don't understand the answer. But here in Psalms 37, I think David's asking the same question. But not only does he ask the question, he also gives us the answer. And I think we need to look at that this morning. He says that And I think that the reason why he's able to answer this question is because of his personal life experiences that he had with the Lord. You see, David wrote, when he wrote Psalms 37, he was at the end of his days. I mean, he tells us that in verse 25 of this chapter. He says that I've been young and now I'm old, yet I've not seen the righteous forsaken nor his descendants begging for bread. Now, I don't know if you're old, then it's one thing. But you young people, you don't really realize how old you are until you get to that point of man, where did my younger days go? You know, I never thought I would get to this point of being 60 years old. Never thought that this day would come. And I things that partake in my life, like today I went to Costco and I was able to get in the line of the 60 and older group. And there was a long line of all these older people. I might have been the youngest one. I was 60, and I think I was the youngest. Well, actually, Carmen was with me, so she was younger. But I sat there. When I was actually standing there, I was realizing, in reality, I'm old. I'm looking at all these younger people getting in a separate line. And here I'm in the 60 and older line, just to get into Costco. And but again, I just thank the Lord that when I think about serving God all the days of my life, as David said, you know, I've been young and I'm old, but he served the Lord in his lifetime. And what a blessing it is to be in the presence of God in your age and your days of your life. And as I'm growing older physically, I should be growing older spiritually as well. And there's always that saying that goes, you know, with age comes experience, or through our mistakes, we gain experiences. You know, it's true. The mistakes that we make, we often gain experiences. And, you know, David, he had a lot of lifetime experiences in which he wrote them down. And with the help of the Holy Spirit, he was able to share them with us. And this is the type of knowledge I believe that the Lord wants us to have. One that is known by experiences, by experiencing God in our lives. And literally seeing God moving in our situations, moving in our circumstances. I mean, the events that surround us right now, you know, there's good ones and sometimes there's bad ones. But we learn to experience the Lord through them. And when we are hit by them, David tells us in Psalms 37, which I want to encourage you this morning with, that we still have a responsibility to the Lord, to those around us, and to ourselves. And we can't forget who we are in the Lord. And as we continue to go through this coronavirus pandemic, just like David, we still have a responsibility to the Lord. And we can't forget who we are in the Lord. And we have to remember all the faithful promises that he has set down for us. And they are there to protect us. Just like how our president, the CDC, and those who are in the position to set down these regulations, they're there for our protection against the COVID-19 virus. And not only to protect us, but to protect those around us, to protect our loved ones and our children and grandchildren. Well, it's the same with the Bible. The Bible is the Lord's regulations that are set down by him to protect us. They're there to sustain us through these tough times. Now, I want you to look at Psalms 37. Look at verse 1, because David goes on. And he says, "Do not fret because of evildoers, nor be envious of the workers of iniquity, for they soon shall be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb." So David tells us not to fret. And he mentions it three times here in Psalms 37. He mentions it here in verse 1. He mentions it in verse 7 and in verse 8. Three times. So if he mentions it three times, then it must be something that we need to consider within our lives. It must be very important for us that David was willing to mention it to us three times. So we need to plant it within our hearts. So the Lord, through David, he warns us not to get upset over the ungodly, because that's what he's talking about. He says, don't fret. Now, the word fret means to burn with, or to become heated up, or to become kindled as a fire is kindled, to glow or to blaze. And when I think of the glow part of it, when you have a bonfire and when it's burning for a while and the wood you put in there, it becomes like coals and you see this red glow and you don't see a flame, but you see the glow of it. Well, David says that's not how we should be when we get angry. So the word fret, it's describing a person who's burning with anger. And David tells us not to burn with anger. And don't get emotionally aroused or all worked up over those who do evil deeds. And I see what the COVID-19 virus is doing to people. This pandemic, it's causing many to fear, to lose control, to stockpile, to take from others. It's even causing many Christians to burn with anger, to become full of hatred over what others do or what they don't do. And when we allow that anger to take place in our hearts, then we allow them and that anger to control us. And we end up saying or doing things that we will regret. But that's what takes place when we allow our anger to control us. Then we end up showing a lack of intelligence or common sense, and we do dumb things. We often say things that we don't really mean or words that we're going to regret later. Somebody sent me another video of this man. He went into the Vons to shop, and when he went in there was nothing left on the shelves. And he was so upset. When he left, he went in the parking lot, and he saw another man coming out with a basket full of supplies. And so he was mad. He was upset. He said, "Look at that man. He has double of everything." So he decided to go over to the man, and he did. And he said, "Sir, I see you have two of everything. Would you be so kind to give me one of everything that you have?" And so this man who asked him that, he has all the supplies on his table, and he's pointing to the supplies, and he says, "Look at this. This man was so generous, and he's given me a box of cereal, a case of toilet paper, and a case of water," and he's pointing to everything that the man gave him. But as he's pointing to the supplies, he has a gun in his hand. And I thought that was kind of funny, because when he went up to the guy to ask for the supplies, he went up in anger and he had a gun and he said, "Sir, give me one of everything you have." But he was pointing to the supplies, saying, "This man is generous. Look, he's given me all these things." And so again, we can't allow this anger to control us. We can't allow it, because David says in verse 1, he says, "Don't fret because of evildoers, nor be envious of the workers of iniquity." Now, when we look at what others have, and when we look at their prosperity, especially those who don't know the Lord, or those who do evil things and they make their prosperity from it, if we take our eyes off the Lord, then we are tempted to become jealous of them, jealous of what they do for a living, or how much money they make, or how many times, I mean, when I think about how many times have you said, you know, "That's easy money." When you see someone making a lot of money and they're barely doing something, and you say, "That's easy money." And the understanding we lack of to why they are so blessed, it starts to roll around in your thoughts. And you wonder, why are they so blessed? Why is those who do evil, why are they being blessed? Well, we start to roll it around in our thoughts. And you begin to think in your minds, and you see and you say, you know, if I would have been, I probably would have been better off being not being a Christian or following God and His commandments. I would have been better off if I would have done it my way, then I would have had stuff. I mean, sometimes we can allow that to enter into our thoughts. Well, let me share something with you this morning. They might be successful, whether it's by earning it through hard work or getting it through sinful deeds. But David reminds us in verse 2. Look at verse 2. He says, "For they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb." Let me tell you something. The evildoers and their success, even the good people, those who work hard for their money, They might have their time, they might have their success, but without Jesus in their life, that's the best it will ever be for them. It ain't going to get any better. That's it. Their success here on earth is all that they will ever have. It ain't going to get any better. Because why? David says in verse 2, they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. It's like the saying goes, for those who don't have Jesus in their heart, this is the closest that they will ever get to heaven here on earth. But those who have Jesus in their hearts, this is the closest that they will ever get to hell here on earth. So we might allow anger to enter our hearts because of injustice of others or because of their success or because of their sinful deeds. And we may even allow these things to cause us to worry or to fear, just like what's happening now with the coronavirus. And you might be a little fearful or you might be a lot fearful. You might even be going through the fear of being afraid about the effects that it might have on you, it might have on your family, or even in our world. And yet the Lord wants us to take control of our emotions. He wants us to take control of our thoughts, our behavior, our words, and not allow them to control us or to trouble us by those who don't know Jesus or who do wicked things, or even this coronavirus. Because you know what? They will all fade away. They will all be cut down, and sickness will pass. This epidemic will pass. Therefore, it's not worth to be angry. It's not worth to be envious or fearful or scared or have anxieties, because isn't our Lord greater? He's greater than anything that the world has to offer or what man has to offer. In fact, David said in Psalms 121, verse 1, he says, I lift up my eyes to the hills. And where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. So let's look at our responsibilities now as Christians, how we should act in such a time as this. I want to look at what David says in verse 3. Look at verse 3 of Psalms 37. He says, trust in the Lord and do good, and dwell in the land and feed on his faithfulness. So instead of getting angry over the evildoers, we are encouraged to trust in the Lord. That means that God wants us to boldly, I'm going to say it again, he wants us to boldly place our confidence in him. Be bold in your trust in the Lord, especially when times are tough, such as this time. Because in times when we are being tested, when we are being disciplined, when we are being persecuted, when we are being chastised, that's when our faith has to kick in. That's when you really need to trust in the Lord. And if anyone can testify to this, it was certainly David. And because of that, David said in Psalms 118, verse 8, he says, it's better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. Because if you put your trust in man, sooner or later, he's going to let you down. I'm sure many of us had put our trust in someone and was let down by that person. I mean, he will fall off your pedestal. He will let you down, but the Lord won't. And so we have to have confidence in our relationship with the Lord. That's our responsibility as a believer. We need to boldly say what David said in Psalms 31:14. He says, but as for me, I trust in you, O Lord, and I say, you are my God. Or I think of Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 7. Jeremiah said this, blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and whose hope is in the Lord. You know, when we surrender totally to the Lord and when we trust in him to take care of everything that concerns us, everything that might surround us, whether it's the evil that's around us, whether it's the wicked, whether it's the virus. Trusting in the Lord means that we don't allow the wicked, the evil, the coronavirus to distract or discourage us from doing the good works that God has commanded us to do. Don't be distracted from why you were made. In fact, Paul said it in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. He said, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. And then Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, verse 16, he says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. So in the midst of what you might be going through, you are to trust in the Lord and to continue serving him. And he promised us that if we do, we will dwell safely in the land. And we will be able to feed on his faithfulness. Even when we're not faithful, he is always faithful. He's faithful to take care of us. He's faithful to feed us. And he will feed our spirits. He'll feed that part in us that relates to him. And he won't let us go hungry. He'll provide for us. And he'll watch over us just like a shepherd who's tending his sheep. So we need to stay in God's will. We need to continue to do what he has called us to do. And as we trust and obey in him, he will protect and he will provide for us. Now look at verse 4. Look at our other responsibility here. David says, delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desire of your heart. Now one thing I do want to stress to you, and I want to encourage you with, and that is, never allow wicked people, never allow circumstances or situations or sickness or even sin to rob you of the Lord's joy. Because the joy of the Lord is our strength. Nehemiah told that to God's people. He said, don't be sorrow, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. Instead of worrying about what's happening around us, remember that the joy of the Lord is your strength. And we need to delight ourselves in the Lord, especially in such a time as this. We need to take our thoughts into captivity, and through our obedience to the Lord, disobedience will be destroyed. The fears and the anxieties will all be destroyed according to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Because why? Because we have the joy of the Lord. When we are troubled because of the ungodly or what's happening around us, that's when we need to make every effort to focus our thoughts to the Lord and to bring everything to the Lord. In fact, Paul tells us in Philippians chapter 4, verse 8 through 9, he said, finally, brethren, what things are true, what things are noble, what things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there's any virtue, if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. And the things which you've learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. So we need to be rooted and grounded in the love of Christ and in the joy of the Lord. And when we delight ourselves in the Lord, he does promise that he will grant us the desire of our hearts. Now, the word desire here, it means petitions or requests. it's a Hebrew word that means to ask. So what David is telling us through his life experiences with the Lord, that when we delight ourselves in the Lord, he will answer our prayers. So don't forget how many times the Lord has answered your prayers. Don't forget how many times that the Lord has blessed you and he has come through for you. And Jesus, he taught the same thing in John chapter 15, verse 7. Jesus tells us this. He says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. Now, this is what Jesus said. And because John heard it from Jesus, John said it in 1 John chapter 5, verse 14 and 15. Listen to what John says. He says, now this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of him. So Jesus said it, John heard it and he gave it to us, and now you're hearing it from me. So what are you going to do about it? I want to encourage you to start desiring what God desires. Start abiding and praying to the Lord. And when you find it hard to do this, then you need to do it your hardest. Listen to what Augustine, who was a theologian, he said this, and I really love this statement that he made. He said, love the Lord with all your heart and do whatever you want, but only if you are loving God passionately with a heart that wants to obey and honor the Lord continually. Then you can do whatever you want, because his plans and what he wants you to do will automatically be your desires and purpose. Man, that's a heavy statement to say. That's the type of desires I want in my life. I want to be able to do what I want only if it will be in line with his perfect will and his desires, because that's what a true servant of the Lord is. Paul said in Philippians chapter 2, verse 13, he said, for it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure. You know, the Lord, he puts his will and he puts his plans within our hearts. And it's done for his good pleasure, not yours, not mine's. That's his desires for us. And we have to desire the things that he desires. And then David goes on and he continues with our responsibility. Look at verse 5. He says, commit your ways to the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Now the word commit, it means, in the Hebrew, it means to roll. It is a word used to describe like rolling a stone. So instead of being angry, being jealous, being fearful for what's going on, we need to commit our ways to the Lord. Just like rolling a large stone over a pit, well, we need to roll all our burdens, all our cares, all our questions, all our concerns and problems on him. Put them on him, because he tells us that. And David said in Psalms 55, 22, he says, cast your burdens on the Lord, and he shall sustain you. And he shall never permit the righteous to be moved. And of course, 1 Peter 5, 6 and 7, Peter said, therefore, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Cast all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. So we should know, just like David, by experiences, that when we trust him and commit everything to him, he will help us by taking care of everything that concerns us. Everything that poses a threat to us, he will help us. We need to learn to experience that firsthand in our life. We need to see his will and his purpose coming to pass in our lives. Now, I know it's easier said than done, but if we can commit every matter of our lives to God and be committed to him in a consistent obedience to his will, then he will defend us and he will go before us and he will be our rear guard against anything that will come against us. Whether it's trials, tribulation, persecution, viruses, the wrongdoings that someone might inflict on you, you might have to go through them. We might have to go through them, but you have God's promise that he will never leave you nor forsake you, and he has promised us eternal life, and he will bring it to pass. So we need to trust the Lord in all that he committed and commanded us to do. And we cannot determine what we do for the Lord on others. We can't determine that on circumstances or allow them to rob us of the joy of the Lord. We have to delight ourselves and obey him and desire his plans for our lives. And then he will answer our prayers and he will give us the desire of our hearts. Now look at verse 6. David goes on, he says, and he shall bring forth your righteousness as the light and your justice as the new day. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. And do not fret because of him who prospers in his ways, because of the man who brings wicked schemes to pass. So to, again, instead of becoming all heated up or stirred up over what others do and say, We should just rest in the Lord. The word rest in the Hebrew, it means to be silent and still, to be quiet and to settle one's nerves and to be at peace. Now, resting in the Lord, it enables us to be free from the emotional, the mental, the physical, even the spiritual stress, distress that we might be experiencing right now. And we're able to relax and we're able to sit at his feet so we can hear from him when we rest at his feet. When we sit at the Lord's feet through the word of God, through prayer, through worshiping him. And we need to learn to rest in the confidence that God has everything under control. He has everything under control. Resting in the Lord allows you to acknowledge that God is still on the throne of your life. And when you have confidence in that, then you will be able to wait patiently for him to do as he knows what's best for us and what he knows what's best for the world. Now, when David tells us to wait patiently on the Lord, David's not talking about this passively waiting on God. He says, don't do it passively, but we have to do it actively. As we wait for the return of our Lord, our Savior, Jesus Christ, actively, we need to be about his business. As we are told by the authorities to stay home and to keep a social distance from others, let me tell you something, guys. We still have a responsibility to be about his business. Not passively, but actively. We can still pray and we can still ask the Lord on how you can witness and how you can pray for people and how you can help others in such a time that we are in. How to witness and share your faith and at the same time, being a good witness by obeying the regulations that are set down to protect us and to protect others. And so look at verse 8. David says, again, cease from anger and forsake wrath and do not fret because it only causes harm. Again, this is the third time David encouraged us not to fret over evildoers. Forsake anger. Keep your emotions under control, because getting mad means when you're mad, most of the time, it only leads you to sin. Now, in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 26 through 27, Paul said this, be angry and do not sin, and do not let your sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. So Paul teaches that, you know, anger itself is not a sin, but it's what you do with it that can cause you to say or to do things that are very sinful. And we have to have self-control when we get angry. And a lot of times, you know, that's very difficult to do, to have self-control when we're angry. Only if it's only done through the power of God's Holy Spirit in our life, then we're able to do that. In fact, Galatians chapter 5, verse 22, verse 23, Paul said, but the fruit of the Spirit is love. It's joy. It's peace. It's long-suffering. It's kindness. It's goodness. It's faithfulness. It's gentleness. And here we go. It's self-control. And against such there is no law. So what Paul is trying to portray here is that we have to have the right attitude. And the reason why we have to have the right attitude is look at verse 8. At the bottom of verse 8, he says, we have to cease from anger. Why? Because it only causes harm. Anger will often hurt you more than the person you are angry over. And a lot of times those who you are angry with don't even know that you're angry with them. So you end up carrying a lot of bitterness, animosity, hatred, hurt, pain, almost like having a bunch of self-affliction. And you exhibit many of the fruits of the flesh within that anger. And when you should be filled with the fruit of the Spirit. Besides, look at verse 9. David says this, for the evildoers shall be cut off. But those who wait on the Lord they shall inherit the earth. I mean, this is the fate of the wicked, guys. They will be cut off. But those who don't allow anger, who don't allow jealousy to rule over them, to those who trust in the Lord, those who do good, those who dwell with the Lord, those who feed on His goodness, those who delight in Him, those who commit all to Him, those who rest in the Lord and seek to forsake wrath, He says they will inherit the earth, because then you will be fulfilling your responsibilities to the Lord in such a time as this. Now, I want to leave you with this, what Jesus said. I want to encourage you with this. Jesus' words in Matthew chapter 5, verse 3 through 10. You know it very well, but it's our responsibilities to be doers of it. Jesus said this, blessed. Now, when He says blessed, the word blessed means, oh, how happy. So I'm going to change it. Oh, how happy are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Oh, how happy are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Oh, how happy are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Oh, how happy are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Oh, how happy are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Oh, how happy are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Oh, how happy are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Oh, how happy are those who persecute you for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. What beautiful words of encouragement and of security and confidence that Jesus has given. These are His promises. Sometimes he doesn't promise that we will not go through the fire, but He promises that He will go through it with us. And when it's such a time like this, what's happening in this world, we have Jesus, and Jesus is walking with us. He's going through it with us. In the gospel, don't forget, the gospel, God is on the throne. The gospel is still being preached, and people are still getting saved. So, word up, pray up, and look up, because our redemption draws near. Let's pray. Father, we do thank You for just Your words of encouragement, Your words that sustain us. When I think of David in Psalms 37, how, Lord, he clearly tells us that we have this responsibility in our lives as men and women of God, that whatever is happening around us or what's happening to us, that we have to stay faithful to You. Lord, You have never let us down, and even now You will not let us down. And so may we commit all to You, Father. May we trust in You in everything and delight in You. Delight in the joy of the Lord. May we rest in You actively, not passionately, but actively. May we continue to pray, continue to worship, continue to read the Word of God, and stay connected with one another, Lord. And until this all passes, again, Jesus said, it will pass. So this too will pass. So bless us, Lord, and I pray for Your hand of protection around Your people. I pray for the hand of protection around the first responders. I pray for a hand of protection around the world, Lord. But You would use this for the furtherance of the gospel, Lord. And Father, that this would be a judgment on the world, so that the world would repent and that we would turn back to You, that You may heal our land. So bless us, Lord. Bless us. And Jesus, we do pray that You would come quickly, and we give You all the glory and all the honor. And when You return, may we be about Your business. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.